Good morning, church. You get me today. Pastor Mike and Mary are in England today, and they send their greetings. And a little funny experience, testimony about this. Debbie was taking Pastor Mary to the airport Monday, I believe it was, of last week or one of those days. And Pastor Mike was flying in from Australia to the Phoenix airport to meet with her to go on to England. I don't know how he does all these flights. I've done that Asia trip, and that's like 20, 30 hours it took us to get where we were going. I can't do that anymore. And he just doesn't seem to bother him any. I don't know how it happens. But anyway, he got to they were scheduled to meet and take off, and then in the meantime, his flight gets delayed in Los Angeles. And so Mary's texting Debbie and saying, there's no way he's going to make it. He can't make it. What am I going to do? And Debbie says, go on to England. He'll catch up to you when you get there. Well, I've never done that before. And she says, well, it's a new experience. And so in the meantime, his flight does get here. He gets in the airport 5 minutes before the other one departs. So all of you that know Pastor Mike, can you imagine him running through the airport with his briefcase? I just can't picture it. But he made it. They got on the flight, got to England, and everything's happy. They're in their conference today. And I'm just so proud to be part of a church with wonderful pastors like Pastor Mike and Mary. Those of you that don't know, Debbie and I have been part of the ministry of Pastor Mike and Mary for 25 years now. So it's been a long journey, and it's been a great journey. We haven't always been here, but about 10 years ago, well, it's 10 years ago now, Pastor Mike called me when we were living in Puerto Rico and said, can you come help me for a while? And I said, okay. And then we met. I says, I'll give you 3 years. And that was 10 years ago. So, you know, you just don't know how God changes your assignments, and you just got to be obedient and go with the flow, and everything's great. And then I'm so grateful for my son and daughter. I call her my daughter. It's Melody, my daughter-in-law. And the great part that they've had in this church into its destiny of worship and bringing the presence of the Lord to you every Sunday, and I'm grateful for them. How many got to hear their testimony last week? I tell you what, I was sitting there, and I'm the daddy, and I just was crying. I just couldn't stop crying because I've known the story, and I've walked through it with them, and I'm just so grateful. The miracle-working power of God in each of our lives, and none of us are exempt from the miracles of God. And this morning, well, I'm gonna talk a little bit about our journey, but as Christians. But I wrote down last night as I was reading over my notes. I always have tons of notes and never can get to them. But I wrote down, be kind to everyone because everyone is fighting some kind of battle. We don't know other people's journey, the pain they've been suffered through, or are suffering at the moment. We don't know. We look at people, their smiling faces, and we don't know what's going on inside. We don't. So that's why we always have to have mercy and grace on everybody we come in contact with. It's not how many times you fall, but how many times you get up. Never miss out on an opportunity to tell people how special they are. You're special today. And today I want to talk about, are we enjoying the journey that God's got us on? About every month or so, we get up, we'll be sitting around the house, and, you know, Debbie and I go through a lot of stuff, dealing with a lot of people's issues in the church and all that. And she'll look at me about every month and say, babe, are we enjoying the journey? And every once in a while, I have to think about it. And then when I'm realizing I'm not enjoying the journey as much as I should, I begin asking the Lord to renew my vibrance, renew my passion, renew my love for people, renew my love for what I do. And on this journey, you know, it's a little different. There's some things that don't change in any of our journey if we're a Christian. There's certain things that there's the principles of God. But on our journey, for each of us, each journey looks different. Depends on who you're married to. Depends on who your boss is. Depends on what part of the country you live in. depends on this and that and that and this. It all depends on your particular situation, how your journey is. And I'm so grateful that I've had a great wife for almost 45 years who has kept me on track, and she's made the journey worth continuing on. And I remember 45 years ago when I met her, I didn't like her, and she didn't like me, because I thought she was a stuck-up snob, and she thought because I played the piano, I must be gay. And so she didn't want anything to do with me, and I didn't want anything to do with her. And then my dad, this is where it's so important to listen to your spiritual leaders and your parents. Because my father, my whole life was, he got saved in 1950. I was born in 1951, and he was in the ministry ever since. So our life was a life of ministry. Well, anyway, my father came to me one day, and he says, "Hey, you know, Bobby," back then my relatives all call me Bobby, "you need to consider that Debbie McCarty." And I said, "You've got to be kidding me. She is such a stuck up." And, you know, I just didn't know her. And so, consequently, we were married 6 weeks later. But God's good. He can take things that we look in the natural and we think it's a certain way, and it's really not that way. And when he puts you together, it just pans out. So God's good. But everybody has different flavors on their journey. But there's one thing that we all have in common. That's Jesus, what comes into our life. He changes our life. He sets us on a path of miracles. Can you say miracles? Miracles. A few things happen on this journey. And I'm going to use Debbie and I's example through this message today. I don't know how far I'm going to get on it because it's already 11 after 12. But Mark 16 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." It's not maybe they'll recover or will they be. The Bible says they will recover. So never miss an opportunity to lay hands on a sick person. Now, I'm not talking about hit them in the head and knock them down just to make yourself feel spiritual. I mean, lay hands on them, believe, pray the prayer of faith, and see the miracle-working hand of God work through you. You are the only Jesus that some people will ever experience in this life. You are a miracle worker. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the miracle working power of God moving through your being. Say, "I'm a miracle worker." The number one thing that will cause people to follow Christ is miracles, because it stops them dead in their tracks. Because people that don't know Jesus and see a miracle happening are going, "Oh my God, how did that happen? What did you do? What's in you? How did you do that? Are you a person with divination and can do all this stuff?" And I'm saying, no, we just know Jesus. And Jesus is the one that does it. And anytime we get puffed up and think the miracle working power of God that happens through us is us, no, it's not us. We're a vessel. It's him. He's the only one that does miracles. The devil can't do miracles. He can do fake miracles, but he's a liar and he's a deceiver, and he'll deceive whoever he can deceive. I'm not looking for another nice sermon, another nice program, another great agenda that's not producing the power and the presence of God. If I come into these services and we don't have the power and presence of God, I said in the first service, we might as well go home and watch Days of Our Lives. If anybody knows what that is, I never did like any of that junk anyway. But anyway, we might as well, because it's not producing anymore. Open your sail. Have anybody been on a catamaran or a sailboat? You know, when they raise that sail and the wind hits it and it just snaps into place and it starts pushing that boat? We need to, as ourselves, open our sail and let the wind of the Spirit catch it and take us to our destiny that God has for each and every one of us. And I promise you, if you will do it, you will see signs and wonders and miracles happening in your everyday life. It doesn't have to happen from the pulpit. It doesn't have to happen in this church service. It should be happening every day in your everyday world. Miracles should be happening. There are great churches and great preachers all over this world. Oh, and by the way, Dr. Iverna, it's so good to have you home. You've been out for a month. And I have to be good because she's a pretty good critic of me. I've been around her for a lot of years now. It's about the same amount of time as Pastor Mike and Mary, 25 years, I believe. But what's setting us apart from status quo here at CFTN is the power and presence of God that we allow to have its way in every service that we come together. That's what makes us different. And I'm just not interested in anything else. I'm just not. I'm too old, and I'm getting tired, and I don't want to waste my last few years on doing stupid stuff. Miracles, signs, and wonders will bring people to repentance. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. He's so good. I tell you what, in the first service, I got about 3/4 of the way through this sermon, and I looked over and I saw the couple that I've been dealing with that went to prison with the family that I've told you before that I was dealing with, got the kids and took them to the family. And 3 months later, she got out and then he was here today. And it was just, I couldn't hardly contain myself to finish the message because I've been praying for them. I go to see him most every week in prison. I didn't know he was getting out because he needed $40,000 to get out on bail. And when that's what I was talking about, the judicial system in this country to me is just crazy. They didn't even have anything to keep her in prison for. They found out later, oh, we didn't read that part of the thing where it said you weren't part of this. And they locked her up for 3 months without her kids. How does this system work? But when I saw, regardless of the system, God's still a miracle worker. God took care of their need. And God will take care of your needs, your family's needs, and everybody that concerns you. We have to be diligent. And what the Lord had to work on me in this, not to get bitter about our system, because it's really probably the best system in the world, but it still has its flaws. But anyway, God's good. Take a drink of this like Dr. Iverna does. Debbie got me this dry mouth spray and I did it and it doesn't work. And she got me lozenges. I took them. That didn't work either. I think it's just when you get 65, stuff just doesn't work like it should anymore. But Matthew 10:7-8 says, go and announce to them, the world, that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy or incurable disease, cast out demons, give as freely as you have received. It's just a matter of fact. It's not like, well, maybe it'll happen. It says it will happen. You just have to step out and do it. I remember growing up, we didn't have the average family life. I don't know many of you know, my mother's not here today, but she usually sits right there, the little gray-haired lady. She's only 15 years older than me. But I remember growing up in my mom and dad's home. When my dad got saved, he immediately got the call to preach, and we just traveled. Our life was in a 30-foot Spartan trailer with 8 bunk beds, and mom and dad slept on a hide-a-bed in the living room, and we traveled everywhere. So in my growing up years, I went to 60 schools in my 12 years because my dad was not one that believed in separating the family because of his calling. So we went everywhere he went. So when he come to Phoenix for a month, we got put in school here. We went to school for a month. We got acquainted with our friends, and then it was time to pack up and go to the next place. Well, a lot of people think, oh, you poor thing, you had to travel your whole life and all that stuff. And I said, yeah, at the time I didn't think anything about it. It was just life was normal. That was normal for us. It was normal. But it's what it did for me in my future, in the destiny and calling that God had for Debbie and I, traveling the world, 30-some countries, living in over 10 different countries. It made it easy for me to adapt to new environments. In fact, I love new environments. And my wife's even worse than me. If I said, get up and go tomorrow, she'd say, I've got my bags packed. In fact, every time we come home from Puerto Rico, she starts packing for the next trip. Always. Our closet is always packed for Puerto Rico because she loves going and she loves what we do down there. But Debbie and I, we've been privileged to be on this journey that's not really what I would say normal, but for us it was normal. But everyone has different calls and giftings, and all are equally important in the kingdom. I'm not more important than you. Pastor Mike's not more important than you. You're not more important than the brother and sister sitting next to you. We are equally important. The only difference is some of us obey the call and some of us choose not to. And when you choose not to, it's not a good place to be in life. God will always make a way. Whatever he tells you to do, he will always make a way, even when there doesn't look like there's any way to do it. Debbie and I have watched it over and over and over and over again, the provision of God in our life. And in fact, I've always one that's been worried about having enough money. And then we'll have prophets come along and say, you know, you guys are never going to have to worry about enough money. And you know what? Here at 60 or 65, I've never had to worry about money, yet I've always thought I did. But I always go back to the prophetic word of God. Never don't listen or hold into your life the prophecies that God gives you, because you may not see it today, but you will see it in the future. He never said it would be easy, but his grace is sufficient for you. In every situation, his grace is sufficient. I remember a time when Debbie and I lived in Nicaragua. We took over for a couple that got burnt out, and they had to go on a sabbatical for, I don't know, it was like 6 months. And we said, oh, yeah, we'll do it. And not really realizing they were in the middle of the Sandinista War, and we got right in the middle of all that. And in fact, we found out when we left and we moved to Costa Rica to learn Spanish, because we decided we didn't speak good enough Spanish, so we went there a year to learn Spanish. We had a missionary come through that they had pulled his toenails out and his fingernails out, and he had a list of all the people the Sandinista was after, and Debbie and I were on the list. And I said, because we were going to go back there, and he says, I wouldn't recommend it. So anyway, living there and running that orphanage, we didn't have enough food. But you've heard me tell the story about my daughter. We had cereal, and she would get up, and in the morning we'd pour the type of canned milk we had there. And she'd say, Daddy, how come my cereal's moving? And I says, oh, it's protein, honey. Just eat it. And you know, that's what the Bible says. If you eat any deadly thing, it won't harm you. Just go ahead and eat it and bless it, and if it's all you've got, it's all you've got. But fortunately, for Debbie being pregnant, we had brought a lot of peanut butter, which is good protein, so she had bread and peanut butter to keep her sustained with Carrie and BJ. But in the city that we were living in wasn't a very big city, but typhoid and malaria had broken out, and 300 people a day, they estimated, were dying from the plague. And they would go around weekly and spray straight DDT everywhere. They would come to your door, they would knock on it, open the door, and they would just start spraying. Straight DDT. And here she is pregnant. And I says, oh, honey, you got to get a pillow. Don't breathe it. Breathe into the pillow. So every week we'd have the pillow ready, she'd breathe into it. And I'd forgotten about that till I started, you know, when I start thinking about my life, I just think about the goodness of God. How great, how he sustained us in the middle of a lot of situations where people would just give up. But anyway, every week they would do that, and then I watched the miracle working power of God. And I didn't say this in the first service, but when God had us leave there, at that time Debbie had contracted malaria and she was very sick, but her parents had called us and said, the prayer team was praying and they said, you need to leave the country immediately. So we did, and you know, I've told the story before how they are people that we were working with. They survived, and 15 of the kids survived, and the rest all were killed with the Sandinistas during the war there. So, but we got out, and we're thinking, well, you know, why should you get out and they die? Well, I don't know. God just had a plan, and he wasn't through with us, and we were obedient to our leaders that were in contact with us, and we did what they said. We didn't want to, but we did it. Our life was spared. But in the process of going home, we always drove in those years. We were driving a pickup truck with a canopy on it, and I'd made a bed in the back end. That's all we could afford. But God said, do it, so we did it. And I kept a machete by my bed whenever them Latinos would try to break in and take advantage of Debbie. One thing they weren't going to do, they were going to lose a hand or something if they got in there and tried to attack my family. So I still carry a machete with me in Puerto Rico. But anyway, you know, you can't have a gun, so what? I mean, it's a good protection. They're not going to, when they see you, use it. Only thing I've ever had to do is wave it. Never had to use it. I just wave it around. But Debbie carrying BJ, having malaria on the trip home, I was thinking about this last night, how God actually sent us an angel to get us through, because we didn't know it at the time. But this little old guy, when Debbie was so sick, he seen us in a restaurant, and he walked up to us, and he says, let me make this for you. So he made some kind of thing with lemon juice and this, and she took it, and it broke her fever. But we kept on going because we had another 2,000 miles to drive to the U.S. border. He traveled with us all the way to the border, and when we looked at the border, we looked, and he was gone. So for me, I think he was my angel. He was always looking out for us, telling us what to do here, where to go there. Don't eat there. Don't eat that. They're serving dogs at that place. I know that place. They serve dogs. That meat is dog meat, so don't eat there. And we just obeyed. And we got to the border, and she was still very sick. And then by that time, I had got sick. We didn't know at the time she had malaria. We found out when we got to the States, when they did the blood tests, that they can tell if you've got malaria or not. And so when we got back, BJ was due to be born the 10th of October, and the doctor said he won't live. And so we didn't even think about it. We'd had a word from Sister Hayes, a prophet, years ago. She said, told Debbie, you're going to have a daughter, you're going to lose a child, and then you're going to carry a son on the mission field, and he's going to be born with three birthmarks. Two birthmarks will go away, and the one will remain on the back of his head, which he still has to this day. So when you get that kind of word, you don't even think about that your son's not going to make it or be born. You don't think about that. So Debbie and I prayed. We weren't even, like today, if that happened to us, we'd go, oh my God, oh my God. If it happened with one of my kids, I would go, oh my God, oh my God. But in those days, I didn't even think that way because of what the Lord had said, and I knew the destiny for our children. I knew it. So when the doctors say this, I just said, well, let's just pray that God keeps him in the cooker till he's ready. She gave birth to him December 17th, which was our anniversary, 11 months and 1 week she carried him, but he was born a healthy baby boy. So the devil was out to destroy Pastor BJ from the day he was conceived. Then when he's being birthed, the doctor stabs him in the head with the knife, and he almost didn't survive that, so we had to have another miracle. So God has miracles for you on every hand and every situation in your life. There's so many times in your everyday life that a miracle is happening and you don't even realize it's happening. How many times have you not been hit by a car head on when it should have hit you? How many times? I know there's been times in my life when I was in a horrible accident situation and all of a sudden I realize I'm on the other side of it. Those are miracles, folks. It's not things you make up. God is producing. There's miracles happening every day of your life. So when he was born, he was stabbed in the head. We believe for another miracle. He got healed from that. And Melody says, every once in a while, when she's trying to get to him, she says, so that's what's wrong with you. But we had a word from God. When you have a word from God, it doesn't matter whether it's prophesied to you, but the word of God is the word of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus went from city to city, healing all that were sick and oppressed by the devil. All. And it says, greater things than this will we do than what he did. So there's nothing that's impossible through you if you just do it. You are the representative of Jesus here on this earth. The Lord loves to perform miracles and he wants to use us. All of us can do it. The only criteria is that you're a believer. If you're a believer, you are a miracle worker. You know, in our journey, a lot of us have a lot of difficulties and, oh my gosh, it's already 12:30. A lot of difficulties and we have this issues and that issue, but the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, lest I be exalted above measure. I asked the Lord 3 times that this thing might depart from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will boast in my weakness that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, in hardships, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So no matter what you're going through in this life, I don't care if it's sin issues that you're trying to conquer or if it's physical issues you're trying to conquer, his grace is sufficient for you to get you through. People come to me all the time, well, I keep having this issue. I just can't quite get over it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I keep saying, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. And they turn around and do it again. My grace is sufficient for you. It's not an opportunity or an okay to sin, but when you do, you have an advocate with the Father because we're all nothing but sinners saved by grace. We're all a nothing but a pile of nothing without Jesus. Matthew 20:29 says, and Jesus and the disciples left the town to Jericho. A large crowd followed behind. 2 men were sitting by the road. They heard that Jesus was coming that way. They began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And the crowd shouting, be quiet, you're disturbing him. Shut up, you're disturbing the King of Kings. They only shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, and stopped and says, what do you want? They said, Lord, that we might see. Jesus felt sorry for them, touched their eyes. Instantly they could see and they followed him. You want people to follow Jesus? Produce a miracle. You've got the power within you to produce miracles. They're crying to Jesus, have mercy, have mercy. And the church folks and the religious leaders of the day, they're just criticizing this man. He's screaming out to Jesus. He's messing up our program. And Jesus didn't care. They didn't care. They just cried all the louder, Lord, help us. Help us. You know, there's people in your lives that you're going to come in contact with that's not always going to be sweet and nice, and they're just going to begin screaming, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. I didn't plan this horrible lot that I have in life, but it's come my way. And they're crying out for the body of Christ to have mercy on them. Jesus felt sorry for them and touched them, and instantly they're made whole. Is all it takes is a miracle, folks. Is all it takes is a miracle for people to follow Christ. So let's just get doing the stuff that Jesus did. Are we doing the stuff? Are you doing it everywhere on your workplace? It doesn't have to be here in the sanctuary. In fact, that's where the least stuff should happen. The most stuff should happen when you leave this place. About 15 years ago, after doing, Debbie and I traveled, I told you, all over the world. And after, we did outreaches and all that, but we mostly did churches, trying to motivate church people and trying to prophesy over them, encourage them, and always church people. Oh, God, send me to church people and bless the church people. And the church people are so sweet and pretty, Lord. Oh, I love the church people. And then one day, as Pastor Judy and her husband Rev, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but Rev called me one day and he says, I need you to come to this church and do what you do best, and you know how to fix our financial stuff, and can you come do it for us? And I said, sure. And during that process, and by the way, her husband was a wonderful man of God, and I was honored to serve with him. One reason I was so honored is he really, really believed in the giftings that I had personally. And not everybody knows that. He didn't know me that well. They had their wedding reception at our house and all that. But he believed in the call of God that was on my life. And I would have never done this because this was an Assembly of God, and I'm not an Assembly of God man, even though I was born into it. But I always prided myself of getting out of all that trauma and stuff that they do. And then he sends me to the church that's full of it, and they're run by a board. And I remember the first meeting I was in the board meeting, he said to the board, he says, Pastor Bob has been sent by God to us, and he's going to mess some things up with us, and he's gonna deal with our, our sacred cows. And I thought, whoa, I didn't know y'all had that many sacred cows. And so I went there, and 3.5 years later, I got the church got totally out of debt, and I refinanced the property, and everything went smooth, and they're still going today. I don't know what they're doing now, but anyway, that's what God sent me to do. And during that process, the Lord sent us, Pastor Judy was there, Debbie and I, and we had a team. We built a team. We went to San Francisco every Friday night and ministered to the drug addicts and homeless people on the streets of San Francisco. And my life was radically changed, where I've never been the same since. I don't look at homeless people the same way. I don't look at broken people the same way, because when I was sitting on the streets of San Francisco and hearing the stories of men and women that had once been wealthy businessmen, but because their wife had left them or something, they took a shot of something and they got hooked. And 10 years later, they're still sitting on the streets begging for food and to get enough money for another fix. So I realized then, the Lord dealt with me, that could have been you. That could have been me without the grace of God helping me not to fall into the trap that so many people fall into, and I'm not critical of them falling into it. I, for one, because I know me, I have no stones to throw at anybody. I don't care what they're in, what their life is. I have no stones. When we lived in Puerto Rico, the Lord sent us there after that situation with the drug addicts in San Francisco. He sent us to Puerto Rico, and we'd been part of Puerto Rico for 20 years, but he sent us back to establish what we had been learning about the people outside of the church walls. And we went there, and we ministered to the drug addicts and the homeless people. And and we were in the center plaza, and one night we got there. We had got a call from one of the drug addicts that he wanted to meet with us about a situation that he was in. Well, when we got there, they had already killed him. He had been dead for 30 minutes. His brains were all over. In fact, I've got a picture of it. I should have had it, where it shows it's like an angel spirit thing over him. And I thought it was probably a spirit of death or something, how it came out in the picture. But anyway, he had been dead for about 30 minutes. The police were there. The hearse was there to take him to the morgue. And so Debbie said, you know, sir, could we please pray for him? Just for because our team wanted to pray. And we grabbed his feet. And about 3 minutes later, breath came back into him. And I was the most shocked of all. Supposed to be a great man of faith, and this should be happening every day in our life, and they come back to life, and I'm going, oh my God, did you see that? And the policemen, they're going, the policemen and the city officials that were there, they were going, what just happened? And so that miracle, and we had a two of them that happened while we were there. That miracle literally opened every door for us with the city officials. They put us on the city council. They put us in charge of raising money for the drug addicts and homeless. And it's amazing what a miracle does. The coolest thing of it all is after that happened, the drug lords, you know, they heard about it and they came and they knew that there was people that were always out to get us and hurt us. And we didn't care. When there was armies of gangs coming and we talked to our team, should we leave? Should we leave? And we said, no, this is our territory. We've claimed it and we're staying here. And so I forgot what I was saying there. Remember, I'm 65, so I forget sometimes. Debbie has to keep punching me and reminding me all the time. But anyway, the coolest thing is the drug lords became our protectors. They were there every week watching out for us because of the miracle. So we became the drug lord's pastor. And not that Debbie and I believe it's the best life. We don't get into that. But two lesbians became our worship leaders on the team. They were wonderful. They were awesome. In the process, God healed the one of breast cancer. And I don't know. I didn't deal with that part of it. I deal with letting God deal with people in their lives and whatever needs to be changed in them. He can do it. People already know what they are. They don't need me telling them what they are. If you live in a certain way and I come, hey, you know, Pastor Marla, you shouldn't be doing that. And she's, well, I know that. I don't need you to tell me that. Miracles give you access. First time we moved to Puerto Rico, one of the first times we moved to Puerto Rico, we didn't know anybody. And nobody accepted us as Christians, and I had long hair, and we didn't look like the Puerto Rican Christians. And so when the apostle pastor guy found out that we sang, and he said, could you come up and sing us a special? And I said, okay. And so we went up there, and I got to the keyboard and just started singing something simple in Spanish because I wasn't really, really good in Spanish in those years. Still not. And Debbie had been prophesying over half the house, and the one lady that she prophesied to happened to be the apostle's daughter. And the doctors, we found out later, had said she could never bear children. She was barren. And so Debbie just began, didn't know, she would just begin prophesying, hey, the doctors have said you can't have children, but the Lord's telling me that 9 months you're going to have birth, you're going to give birth to a daughter. Well, guess what? 9 months later it happened, and there was no problem from then on with us having access to the people in Puerto Rico. So it's all it takes is a miracle. It's all it takes is a miracle. One last statement. I've got tons of them here, but I want to talk about a miracle that happened to us when we went to Russia. I didn't really want to go because it was cold. Because I was raised in Alaska, and Alaska's cold, and I have no tolerance for cold anymore. But that's been about 20 years ago. So we went on this trip with our friend, and we took a plane to Sweden and to Finland, and then a boat to who knows where. We went from one ship to the other, and we finally got to Tallinn, Estonia, and we got on the train, and we were headed to one of our destinations, and we realized when they were coming through asking for visas that we didn't have visas for this next country. It was midnight, it was 0 degrees, and they were going to put us off the train till the next day till we could figure out how to get visas. And I just said, oh my God, I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. And so the three of us, we really got in intercession. I mean, real slobbery, crying, wrenching intercession, because I'm thinking, if they put me out in 0 degrees all night long, I don't know if I'll live till the morning. Because all it was a little station out in the middle of nowhere, snow everywhere, a little station and a bench. Everything closed, so you'd have to sit on the bench all night. And I couldn't imagine my wife having to go through that, me having dragging her halfway around the world to go preach to Russians who didn't know me and I didn't know them. So we began praying, and then all of a sudden, I hear knocking down the doorway, visas, I forget the word, I knew the word then, and everybody would open the door, giving the visa, getting closer to my door, and we're just crying out to God, oh God, please help us, have him for some way not see our door and pass it. All of a sudden, I've never ever had this happen before or since, our room filled with a haze like our haze we have here in the mornings. Smoke filled the whole room, and we were going, wow, what is this? And we're going, thank you, Jesus. And the guy's knocking on the next door. He comes to our door, and he passes it, and he goes to the following door, and I'm going, oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to get out in the cold. A miracle will change your life. There's so many times when we don't understand. There's so many opportunities in our life every day that God is working his miracle power for us. So this morning, come on, dear. I want you to recognize that you have the power of God within you, and miracles and signs and wonders are yours to display to the world for him.
That was pretty awesome, babe. I wonder if we could stand to our feet this morning. And I hope when you leave this place, you just understand that that kingdom lifestyle should be following each and every one of us. Are you hungry for it? Are you hungry for it? Really, are you hungry for it? Are you hungry to see your communities changed, your schools, your workplace? I believe we are this morning. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. I would say, be safe in saying there's already been hundreds of miracles this morning just in breakthroughs in worship. And I'm grateful for that. I never take any of that for granted. But I feel like God's not finished here today. I feel like there's much, much more that he wants to do. And if you're one here today that you say, I need a miracle, I've never seen a miracle, I want to start walking in miracles, signs, and wonders. I want to step out in what God's called me to do. If that's you here this morning, we're just going to open this time up for you and let you have that time with ministry and get prayer and get strength and get agreement. There's so much to that. And if that's not you, what I want you to do while we just enter into a little bit of time of worship here, just turn to somebody sitting next to you and say, I want to share a miracle that happened this week in my life or a month ago. Because you know we're made overcomer by our testimonies. We're made an overcomer by the word of our testimony. So the Lord wants to increase our ability to overcome today and to be strong and to be strength. So we're just going to open these altars and invite you to come today and be ministered to. If you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, this is your morning. That's a miracle. That's a pretty big one. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, this is your morning. There's another miracle. So just come on forward and be ministered to. The rest of us, let's just spend a little bit of time in worship.
Sure.